All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. Patriots Jets last night. You know damn well Dan wasn't going to come to work to talk about that. Luckily, Mina Kimes is into that kind of stuff, and Elle was Duncan. She hung out with us too.
I watched every second.
How should Cam Newton and the Patriots feel about barely beating the Jets?
All right, so Patriots came back late in the fourth quarter, pulled this thing out right at the end on a field goal to win 30-27 over the Jets, and they should feel like they did not lose to the Jets. Like, do you realize what this conversation is that we're having right now? If Cam Newton is the quarterback of a team that lost to the New York Jets, there is no way the Patriots can spin this as anything other than a whole lot of woo, that worked out well for us. And you can argue for the Jets that it worked out pretty well for them because winning doesn't do them any good. But that's easy for me to say because I don't play for the Jets. It's not my job to get embarrassed on national television once a week.
Well, the Patriots players should feel relieved. The fans should have mixed feelings, not just because beating the Jets is like beating a bunch of first graders in a spelling bee, but also because this team isn't a contender, right? And it's not just because of the offense. Everyone always makes this about how bad the offense is and Cam struggles. But the defense let Joe Flacco put up 128 passer rating on them. And I know Stephon Gilmore was out, and obviously they've been missing a bunch of players all season. But the secondary was supposed to be good. Those are good players out there, and Joe Flacco lit them up. So if I'm a Patriots fan, I know this team isn't going anywhere, and I'm starting to wonder about next year, but unfortunately, the Jets are in better position to get the quarterback of the future.
This is why I love having Mina on the show, because she can give like real thoughtful, intelligent analysis, and I can then deliver an analogy that involves like Cam Newton being a terrible boyfriend that I have dated many times. I love watching the Patriots because I have been in this relationship before. It's pretty unhealthy. You don't really know what's going on. Like at first you think there are really like good signs of commitment, right? Like he does things like tell you that you can keep a toothbrush at his house and he sends your mom flowers on Mother's Day. And then bam, before you know it, he introduces you as his homie to his best friends. And like you realize he's taking you on dates to the IHOP 25 miles from your house. It's just back and forth between committing and not committing. And I am so here for how abusive and unemotional this entire thing is.
I struggled to see the connection to that and the New England Patriots. And I'm just trying to figure out who was taking you 25 miles away to the IHOP. Now I am just totally
all those stories are true. All those stories are true. Also, Bomani, we had been dating for a few years and he gave me a garage door opener. And, you know, I was being ridiculous. So I thought like that was significant and meant something. I realized it's because he wanted me to park in his garage so that other people couldn't see I was in front of his house.
Wow. I got to say, the whole pivot I was going to make to the Patriots lining up in the I formation and just deciding to run the ball, off that. Nope, no need to go in that direction.
Steve Young said that Trevor Lawrence should go back to Clemson next year. After watching the Jets fall to 0-9, should Trevor Lawrence consider returning to school?
Here we are on this. So Steve Young had this to say on the Monday Night Football broadcast last night. Let us actually listen to him and ask ourselves what he thought this tie had to do with that shirt.
Don't go to a team that you know is not going to be good for a long time. And you think, oh, I can put them on my back. Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman, two guys that joined bad teams but were already building blocks. They already had a plan. Right. And so the Jets don't look, to me, it's like, that doesn't look like a team with a plan right now the way the Jets are. I might think about going back to school because I don't want to spend my career trying to carry a team on my back. What I'm saying is you come out to the wrong place with no help, you can have your career severely limited when you want to play 15 or 20.
Now, one thing to keep in mind is the last person that really got to the place in this discussion to be like, no, I don't want to play for that team was Eli Manning. And it worked out because the Giants won two Super Bowls. But 2 years after he said he was too good for the Chargers were legitimately the best team in the league. My problem with what Steve Young had to say, though, is maybe he doesn't go play for the Jets, but the response to that is not to go back to Clemson. If the Jets have the number one pick, you decide to come out, you get drafted, and then you tell them you aren't coming. But the solution is never to go play for free.
Yeah, especially because all you can do is lose position at this point, right? God forbid something were to happen to him his senior year. What I find interesting about this whole thing, though, is the idea that they don't have a plan and also the idea of what are his options? Because let's say he does go back to school. He's still going to be in the running from all these sorry teams next year. You'd rather go to the Jaguars? you'd rather go to the Giants or the no-name team, that's going to be your options next year as well. The Jets started 10 rookies yesterday. Like, I get it. Adam Gase is a disaster, and he is going to get fired. This will be it for him. But this is a young team that doesn't have any direction currently, but can solve that by just hiring some competent front office people to manage this ship. And on top of that, Bomani, no one has said that they are absolutely done with Sam Darnold. I don't know how you could be absolutely done with someone at, when making them the third pick in the draft after 30 games anyway.
I'm going to say something nice about the Jets. I actually think it's a good place to go based on what I saw last night. Elle talked about all the rookies, and the rookies look kind of good. I mean, Mekhi Becton got hurt, but he's been the best rookie left tackle in football. Ashton Davis, the safety they drafted, played well. Denzel Mims, the wide receiver out of Baylor, looked good as well. They've got cap space. They've got draft picks. They have not Adam Gase next year, right? And by the way, if Trevor Lawrence does enter the draft, he will know who they have, whether it's an Eric Bieniemy or an Arthur Smith. On top of all that, to Bomani's point, this isn't about the Jets versus, I don't know, the Steelers or the Saints or like a fun team. Steve Young positioned the Jets against going back to Clemson. And the only thing worse than being paid to play for the Jets is not being paid at all. It's a no-brainer that he should enter the draft. And I think New York is a fine place.
Something to consider, though, by the way, and I haven't seen anybody talk about this other than me. But if there is any possibility that the Cowboys could get Trevor Lawrence, there is no way in the world that Jerry Jones is going to walk away from that. Like, let's say that the Cowboys wind up with the third or fourth pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Would you put Dak Prescott in a first-round pick or two together and send it to the Jets to get Trevor Lawrence? Because if I'm the Jets, I make that trade, and if I'm the Cowboys, I do too. It's been 40 years since they had a star at quarterback that would be anything close to what Trevor Lawrence is. Jerry Jones is. Wait till he hears me say this. He's like, that boy's got a point.
You're welcome, Jerry.
That is the A block of NFL Live, actually, Bob.
How worried should the 8-0 Steelers be about Big Ben injuring both of his knees and going on the COVID list?
All right, so the thing about Ben Roethlisberger, I have been surprised that he's looked as good as he has coming off the injury that he had last year, just because he was old, and you can't expect old people to get healthier, right? He came back, he looks all right. Now it sounds real old when the man's got two knee injuries at the same damn time. The COVID thing, I guess we'll find out about that, but as for the Steelers, how worried should they be? We have seen everybody else that they have to play quarterback on that team. Yes. And the Steelers saw them and were like, we're going to roll the dice on 58-year-old Ben Roethlisberger coming back this year off of an elbow injury. They should be scared to death that they ain't got nothing left.
Oh, I was shocked that they didn't pick up a better backup, because we know who Mason Rudolph is. We saw it last season. We caught a glimpse of it, by the way, on Sunday when Ben went out for a drive. Like, if he plays in this game instead of Ben for COVID-related reasons or injuries, we will be longing for the halcyon days of Patriots Jets, because that experience is about 4.5 yards per completed attempt. It is not pretty, and I don't care how good the defense is. The defense was good last year, and they finished 8-8. It is a disaster waiting to happen if Ben is hurt or he can't play. They should be praying that he's fine.
I'm going to be a little different than the Bring Back Charlie Batch crowd. I feel like this is sort of like par for the course for Ben. Like, Ben Roethlisberger, maybe over the last 8 or 9 years to me, has sort of been like, Bo, do you remember that Mike Tyson fight where he like narrowly won and then afterwards said that he had like broke all of his ribs, which is completely improbable and not true? It feels like Ben loves to sort of play as like this grizzled, I've got broken collarbones and twisted ankles and bad knees, but I'm still out there, and how brave and courageous. Like, this all feels like much ado about nothing, because he is on the COVID list, but it's for contract tracing, which means that theoretically, if he passed all his tests, he could be back in 5 days, which would put him back on the field on Sunday. And they do have a 2-game cushion in the division over the Ravens. I would be more concerned with the fact that seemingly their defense is a little bit up and down. In the last 2 weeks, they have looked not exactly like Super Bowl contending form. But as far as Ben goes, this is just what he does, guys.
Mina, they brought back Mason Rudolph and the homie Duck. And they went and got Josh Dobbs from wherever he was before. That's what they got four quarterbacks. Katie, can I combine those other three into one quarterback?
What about what they saw last season led them to think they were all cool this year. Because, and by the way, like, you're totally right. Like, every time Ben grabs a body part, part of me is like, oh, boy who cried wolf, he's fine. He's going to come back in, whatever, rub some dirt on it. But we saw last year he was actually hurt. And then we had to live through that offense. I don't want that. Nobody wants that except for the 72 Dolphins.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
Like, no! and on the Mike Evans thing, we doing something about that. He was like, yo, he was open. He just didn't get targeted. Why can't
that's
that be
criticism.
About the offensive line?
That, how often do you hear coaches say that?
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if Bruce Arians is throwing shade at Tom Brady?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. It's Bruce Arians on Monday talking about what happened, you know, when they got their brakes beat off by the Saints in their own stadium on Sunday night. Here's Bruce Arians talking about why it was that Mike Evans did not get the ball more.
Mike Evans had just 17 targets combined in the last four games. He had 31 targets in the previous four, two of which he topped 100 yards. I know you don't want to force the ball to Mike. That got Jameis into trouble last year at some, but with him being the best receiver on this team, why isn't Byron making a more concerted effort of getting Mike involved in the passing game earlier?
Mike was open a bunch in that ball game. He just didn't get targeted. That's all. He was open. Mike was open. The interception to AB, that was just a poor throw. The one to Chris read the right properly. Tom thought he was going deep. He stopped. Those things can happen sometimes when you're doing it on the run.
All right, now, I don't think that it's shade, especially at the end, because he tried to smooth over what the thing was with that interception. I want to talk about the reporter coming out hot with the Byron Leftwich shade. Like, Mike Evans isn't getting the ball thrown to him. You think Byron needs to make sure they throw the ball more to him? As though the quarterback doesn't have any role in this. What I do see in this, though, and what we know about Bruce Arians, if he thinks you slipping, he's not going to pretend like you not. Because to take blame away from Tom Brady, that means you're going to effectively have to blame somebody else at the same time. And why are they supposed to get blamed?
We really need to do like a revisit of what shade means. Like, shade is Bruce Arians saying something like, shockingly, Mr. Perfect made a bad throw. That is shade. What he just said was honest, tangible, credible criticism. Like, we all saw that. Right. You don't have to be like a visionary of football to be like, yeah, no, that was, he was open and he wasn't getting the ball. And again, it was all precipitated by someone trying to blame Byron Leftwich. The point is, we're used to Tom Brady, coming from a place in New England where Bill Belichick would rather just say nothing at all than be honest. And the honest truth is, Tom Brady had as bad a game as we've ever seen Tom Brady have. It's nothing deeper than that. But this idea that, like, Bruce Arians is shady to Tom Brady is so ridiculous, but fun to talk about.
Mina is taken aback.
Well, yeah, I'm taken aback because I listen to a lot of coaches and they rarely criticize their quarterbacks the way he just did. Like, that amount of unfiltered honesty, which is exactly what it was, by saying that Mike Evans was open, that was 1,000% a criticism of Tom Brady. We don't hear that. We don't just not hear that from Bill Belichick. We don't hear that from any coach. Bruce Arians is unusual in his willingness to put himself out there. I agree, it's not shade perhaps, but he definitely took a shot at Brady there.
Yeah, I wish we could get some instant replay of the second that I started talking until the minute that L stopped talking. Mina could not sit still, right? I mean, you don't even root for them.
Maybe it's because I listened to too many NFL coaches, so like my bar for honesty is the floor.
No, but even then, he was like, yo, one was a miscommunication. That happens. The other one was a poor throw, obviously was. Like,
no.
And on the Mike Evans thing, we doing something about that. He was like, yo, he was open. He just didn't get targeted. Why can't
that's
that be
criticism.
About the offensive line?
That, how often do you hear coaches say that?
Yeah, but how often do we beg for that, though? Well, don't we want that? Oh, my God, we want Bruce Arians.
Also, right. I feel like when Tom Brady be cussing at them dudes when they make bad plays on the field, you got to be the one to bring it to him when he plays bad. Because these dudes ain't been playing with Tom Brady for no 20 years. They kind of sick of it, I bet.
If you guys don't think that was a shot at Brady, I would love to have seen Tom Brady's face watching that quote. Because I guarantee you that face, which doesn't move a lot these days, to be honest, looks something like this.
Yeah, well, it felt like a shot don't mean it was a shot. Toughen up.
Do you question if Big Baby still has some left in the tank?
All right, so this is a 4-on-4 basketball league in Los Angeles, and you're telling me that Glenn Davis, who is not in NBA shape, is playing in a 4-on-4 basketball league in Los Angeles? That sounds like a horrible idea in these times. Show me more. Oh, yeah, that's Whoa. Definitely not NBA shape, Glenn Davis. Okay. No, man, he is crazy athletic, considering, you know what I mean? I also noticed that ain't no full court. And who is guarding Big Baby? Both of those portly gentlemen are in incredible shape. Consider it.
I feel like this is mean, and I feel like you're all being incredibly petty. Everybody knows they went to school with someone who you want to laugh because their clothes didn't fit, and then you realize it's probably because they couldn't afford new clothes, and we're just sitting here trying to get laughs at his expense. I know that's where you're going, Mina. Stop it. That's the only reason you showed that video. That's the only reason y'all showed that video, is to be mean and petty.
Okay, I'm really not trying to be mean here. But, I mean, there had to have been a bigger size available, right? Like, this, I mean, that was like a small situation on an extra large man. And honestly, you know what? I'm going to throw this out there. Kind of feels like Big Bang was thirst trapping. Kind of feels like he maybe wanted attention for that look, that crop top situation. Because, he didn't show up and get that jersey. He put it on in his house. He saw how it looked, and he went to the court.
While I understand your point, they could not get a larger size. My honest and fair question is, what size are we talking about here, right? Like I don't feel like this league is just able to go get your custom fit jersey. If 2Xs won't do, you probably SOL.
Bo, thank you. Y'all are talking about this league could have done this. Can you look at the tape and video again? Look at how small the court is. What league is this? It's the tiniest court I've ever seen.
I got another point to make. Look at it. Look at his little friend over there. No. Okay. Follow. Watch this clip. You see that guy? What is he wearing, guys? A t-shirt under his jersey.
I don't know how I'm supposed to know. There's another t-shirt. Of that guy. Okay. How about this? Number 21 has a jersey that fits. Therefore, Glenn Davis is absolutely doing this on purpose.
Right?
Like, he and the dude that is guarding him are in the same weight class. And again, two guys who are great athletes, considering everything.
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Tonight on ESPN... Midweek Maction, Miami of Ohio versus Buffalo.
I appreciate them filling out this inventory on our network, but I don't gamble, so I will not be watching this. But apparently we got some action with a scoop and score and a celebration. Get a look at this. I think it involves Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo and Northern Illinois. That's Buffalo scooping the ball.
All right. All right, number 4.
Nice play. Ooh, okay, King. Isaiah King. Okay, King.
What's that?
Oh,
swag. Oh,
okay. Nice play. And.
Then he went an Earl. Don't put your mask on right after that. It's going to smell awful. Oh, you're not done.
Wow.
I hate Jamie Foxx, though, because forever I will, every time someone does something like this, I'll just think, right? I keep the ladies.
You never seen Any Given Sunday?
Shut your mouth.
They were trying to act like 40-year-old Lawrence Taylor was still in the league. Come on now. They were asking me to suspend too much disbelief.
Well, Dennis Quaid was 60. What? You've never seen Any Given Sunday?
Let me tell you who ain't about to be judging me for not seeing movies. At least when I don't see a movie, I admit it, as opposed to trying to play along with it. Who that sound like?
Ooh, run tell
that. The person with a jacket over her face.
Nobody.
Which one is it?
Tonight on ABC, The Bachelorette.
I'm going to stay, unlike the normal host. I'll stick around for this. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they get the one bachelorette up out of there because she had basically already made her decision? It wasn't playing fair. Did they already bring in the new bachelorette?
Yes.
Tisha's all right, so here we go.
Tisha! Did he say Tisha?
It's only a matter
Tisha,
of time
word.
Before she realizes the truth.
Mina's like a real bachelorette person.
The Bachelorette, new tonight on ABC.
Can we get like real actual footage of when people found out that it was a new bachelorette and just to see how it, you know, went over with everybody? They used to be afraid stuff like that would scare off the viewers. Elle, are you intrigued?
I actually have, it's not that I have anything against it. I have actually never, I'm proud to say this, never seen a single second ever of The Bachelor or Bachelorette in my entire life. So I'm not sure that I'm going to change that today.
Mina.
Well, I am a very proud viewer of The Bachelorette, which you can catch on ABC. And Bomani, I did see the footage of when they reacted, and everybody was thrilled because the old Bachelorette, everybody really wanted to get her out of the paint. So when they brought in Tayshia, yeah, it was that kind of situation. So she kind of rode the wave, came in, and everybody was stoked.
They're like, Tayshia, I don't care who it is, anybody other than her. All right, that is the show. There will be a show tomorrow. Get you guys ready for the Masters in November. So weird. I did a podcast the other day, and they asked me Any Given Sunday or Remember the Titans. I think I ain't seen neither one. And Any Given
You've
Sunday,
never
I'd
seen
be
Remember
far
the
more
Titans? Bo, what if I told you someone that you are cool with, that you're friends with, that is currently on this panel, is in Remember the Titans?
What?
Send me a clip.
Okay, well, I have to send you a freeze frame because you can barely see me. But I was still in it. I was a paid extra. I got paid $200 to be in three different scenes.